apply within 7 days, knowing that within the period she has stipulated, 4 days out of the 7 days are a holiday. So that maybe, according to them, possibly we can fail to meet the obligation, then they declare PF registered. But the facts are with the lady. And you know, we live in the same environment. And when you inquire, including the registrar herself, you know, from some quarters we are hearing, she's complaining that I've been under a lot of pressure from these people.
So, quick question. As we speak today, has PF met all the requirements as stipulated by law in Zambia?
As we speak to you today, we have met all the requirements. We have even gone over and above what the registrar requires. The registrar requires only to have 10, a minimum of 10, you know, office bearers for the political party to be said to be in good standing. But we have even gone to an extent of giving them 20 so that they can deal with that.
Rafael Nakachinda is a member of Zambia's main opposition PF Central Committee for Information and Publicity. He spoke with me from the capital, Lusaka. In Uganda, female parliamentarians from the main opposition National Unity Platform, or NUP, are calling on the international community to pressure the administration in Kampala to stop using what they say is violence against women. The lawmakers accused the police of using force following their recent arrest and subsequent release. This after they plan to petition the Internal Affairs Minister over their concerns about violence against women. The lawmakers say state security institutions, including the police, often use excessive force to prevent the lawful activities of female opposition lawmakers in their constituencies. Their complaints were backed by civil society groups who have since condemned the behavior of the police. For more about the call to stop security agencies from using excessive force against female lawmakers, I reached Joyce Bagala. She is the leader of the NUP parliamentarians who led the protest.
We petitioned the Speaker of Parliament about the issues that were happening, especially the harassing of women, female MPs, especially on the opposition. It started with the celebrations of the International Women's Day, where we arranged celebrations in our districts, and it started with me. They tear gassed me and sprayed me with paper, and a number of my people were arrested. It happened in Hoima district, it happened in Chiboga district, it happened in Kasese, it happened in Mora, and it happened in Soroti city. Now, the worst was in Bovuma, which is in the island, and we said we cannot keep quiet. We can't keep quiet when the rights of women are being violated. And that's why we petitioned the Speaker of Parliament and also indicated to her that we would demonstrate to show our dissatisfaction.
Did you notify the Ugandan police of your plans to...
Oh, we did. We wrote to the IGP.
Some people are saying you did it.
Yes, we did. We wrote to the Inspector General of Police indicating that we would hold a demonstration and this is what the law requires us to do. So we did that.
Did the police tell you the reason why you were arrested?
They didn't tell us why we were arrested. They simply pounced on us, beat us, humiliated us, almost undressed some members, beat many members. There are some who were injured, and they bundled us into a police van. They drove us to Central Police Station in Kampala. And while there, before we actually got out of the van, they sprayed the van with paper and tear gas while we're still inside.
Did they tell you when they would prefer charges against you? Are there any charges as a result of the arrest?
No, they didn't tell us. In fact, we were released unconditionally.
After your release, what happens next?
That will not stop only at Parliament. The Speaker said the matter is going to come up on Wednesday. But also, we need to petition other stakeholders. Stakeholders, including development partners, because the International Women's Day is celebrated not only in Uganda, but also other countries under the United Nations. And we need to tell them that in Uganda, the women leaders who are on the opposition are not allowed to celebrate this day. So there is no reason for Uganda to continue celebrating International Women's Day when the rights of women are violated.
Some people are suggesting that women have made significant strides in Uganda, You have a woman vice president. You have a woman speaker of parliament. Yourself, you are in parliament, and very high public institutions have had women contributing significantly. So this suggests that the government embraces the value of the Ugandan woman, and as such, there has to be a synergy for both parties or both political divide to work together to better the lives of women. What do you say to that?
Certainly, that would be the ideal situation to work together, which the NRM regime is not allowing. But also, I can take you back, Peter, to what you said about a woman Speaker of Parliament, a woman Vice President, a woman Prime Minister, women I don't know what. Yes, those positions are there. Do they have the influence? Do they influence the direction of the country? Are they the ones in charge? Do they have the power to make things happen? You need to ask yourself, if they did, why is it that all these women that I've mentioned in many districts, you've never had the voice of a prime minister saying anything? You've never had the voice of a vice president saying anything? Why? If women had that power, if they could make decisions, they would make the decision to not dehumanize another woman, to not humiliate another woman leader, to not harass another woman, but they don't even have a say. They are quiet.
Now, Honorable Bagala, if you said you will not relent, are you not going to put your fellow parliamentarians in danger?
You see, this is what happens. If we want something good to come out of the strikes that you're talking about, we've got to work towards it. And there's no one who is forced. If you feel humiliated, if you feel dissatisfied, then you can join the efforts to make things right, to make Uganda better. And you know, women are the mothers of this country. We are the mothers. We are the sisters. We are the wives. We take care of every issue that concerns society. And if women are not well, if they're not treated well, we cannot have a good society. So it is just about everyone who feels dissatisfied.
Joyce Bagala is a Ugandan parliamentarian from the main opposition National Unity Platform, or NUP. She spoke with me from the capital, Kampala. You are listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of the Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. And coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, this Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. But first, the Kenyan commander of the East Africa Regional Force mission in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo has resigned, citing threats to his security. For VOA, Victoria Amunga reports from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi.
In his resignation letter dated April 27, the commander of the East Africa Regional Force mission, General Jeff Nyaga, said he was exiting the mission because of what he termed as an aggravated threat to his safety and a systematic plan to frustrate efforts of the force. According to Nyaga, in early January, he was forced to relocate after what he believed to have been monitoring devices placed by mercenaries along with surveillance drones and other methods of physical surveillance at his residence. He also cited, among other items, the suspension of the mission's Facebook page by the DRC government and failure by the same government to pay administrative costs, salaries and electricity bills at the EAC force headquarters. In September 2022, the DRC signed a troop deployment deal with the East African Community to help combat insecurity in the eastern DRC. The mission comprises soldiers from East African member states, including Kenya, Uganda, and South Sudan. Nyaga was appointed commander of the force in September last year, and Kenya approved the deployment of 1,000 soldiers for the new DRC force. The force was created in hopes of curbing violence in eastern Congo, where the government is fighting M23 rebels and clashes have displaced hundreds of thousands of civilians. Victoria Amunga for VOA News. Nairobi.
Has social media improved your life, or is it more of a distraction? We'd love to hear from you. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code plus 1, then 202-258-3076. The number again, plus 1-202-258-3076. Can't wait to hear from you.
As some fighting continues in Sudan, despite rival forces agreeing to extend a truce, the United States says it desires to see a durable cessation of hostilities and a free flow of humanitarian access in the Northeast African country. Details from VOA Chief's National Correspondent Steve Herman in Washington.
State Department spokesman Vedant Patel told reporters Friday the United States is continuing discussions with the rival generals heading the Sudanese army and the country's rapid security forces to try to get them to extend the ceasefire and to realize the dire impact the violence is having.
Reduction in violence will allow and continue to allow for the conditions to persist that are allowing operations to take place that are getting American citizens to safety, that are getting our allies and partners to safety, and the personnel and citizens of our allies and partners to safety as well.
2 weeks of warfare in Sudan have left hundreds of people dead, thousands wounded, and prompted numerous countries to carry out risky evacuation operations of civilians, aid workers and diplomats. Steve Herman, VOA News, Washington.
Amid hopes that a shaky ceasefire in Sudan will hold, people continue to flee the capital Khartoum, many by public bus. The road to Port Sudan has been one of the safer routes but still has risks, including checkpoints along the way. For VOA, Michael Atit joined the journey and has this report on the road to Port Sudan.
After more than 2 weeks of fighting between the Sudanese military and the paramilitary rapid support forces, civilians in Khartoum have little choice but to run for their lives. Some 70 people, a mix of foreign nationals, including women and children, took the risky road Thursday from Khartoum to Port Sudan on the Red Sea, a journey that takes more than 10 hours by bus. As our bus made progress, passengers could see the destruction in neighborhoods. Rapid support forces fighters could be seen at many intersections, but they didn't attempt to stop the bus nor ask where it was going. After 25 minutes, the bus arrived at the first military checkpoint, where some individuals were asked to disembark with their identity cards, including me. The process went smoothly and in a friendly manner, as I showed them my South Sudanese passport. Not far from the military checkpoint, the bus also passed an RSF checkpoint where the personnel were also friendly to everyone. Shortly after leaving Shendi Town in River Nile State, two bus tires got punctured. The people were nervous and terrified by the sound. Women had to remain on the bus, but men had to come down to help replace the tire. Unfortunately, the driver had only one spare tire. The bus had to wait on a desert road for an hour until a good Samaritan came by to give the second tire. One of the bus passengers was Muhammad Azam, a Syrian national who has been working in Sudan as a medical doctor.
Whenever they will see that we are foreigners and we are trying to flee for our lives, they will reassure us and tell us that the road will be safe. And actually it was, the road was safe.
Azam says he is leaving Sudan with mixed feelings because he didn't plan to leave the country at this time.
I have the feeling of joy and a little bit of sadness, you know. It's like a home for me over here. I'm here since 2018. Right now I'm going to Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Over there, there is part of my family there. It's a happy moment for me, so because I'm going to meet them, inshallah.
A Tanzanian national who identified himself only as Hussein says this was his first time seeing such a heavy fighting. Speaking to VOA after his safe arrival to Port Sudan Thursday night, Hussein says Khartoum is no longer a safe place.
It's the first time to see the big battle like this one, yeah? As before, we used to see the small one, but never affected us. But like this one, it's really different because many people have been killed.
At the southern port in Port Sudan, foreign nationals are being screened before they board a ship to Saudi Arabia. From there, they are expected to leave for their respective home countries. Michael Atit for VOA News, Port Sudan.
If you are in Sudan witnessing events taking place there, or if you have family you are talking to there, you can call us on WhatsApp and let us know how things are going there. Dial the international code plus one, then 202-258-3076. The number again, the international code plus one, then 202-258-3076.
Right now it's time for music from our African collection.
DJ Salvo, and you tuned in to Nightline Africa on Voice of America. And you've just heard my brand new single titled Mtandazo. I hope you enjoyed it.
From Pretoria in South Africa, and you are listening to Nightline Africa from the Voice of America with Peter Clothy. Stay tuned and don't change the dial.
La 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 la. If you're in or no, oh no, oh no, oh no. Go to the chase, mama, sit down. Come have a taste, I know it's done. Because you're right, what you want me. Let's woke up till the morning. There she goes, make me lose control. She run wild, chocolate, chocolate. Close my king, call up, pick up, go. Nobody knows. Let's keep it on a low. No mind them, chocolate, chocolate. If you need me, call on me, go, go.
Friends about VOA Africa, music, sports, and news. I'm
Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, including producer Mike Hovey, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, a slave boy is blamed no matter what he does. If he does not wash his hands, he is accused of being dirty. If he washes his hands, he is accused of wasting water. I'm your host, Peter Clothier, in Washington, D.C. Good evening.